such love as turns into life eternal with you, now and always. Amen. Is there a wedding day that shines brightly in your memory? A marriage celebration that you recollect with pleasure and warm delight? Your own, maybe, or a child's, or a friend's. But a day when love was manifest. A day when a relationship was cemented that has flourished with joy and fulfillment. A day when a story began with happiness and blessing that still brings grace to the world. And I wonder, does thinking of this marriage, so precious in your memory, does it show something of what life is at its best? What life is really meant to be about? Does it manifest a glimpse of God's purpose for his people? Even reflect something of the nature of God himself? Our contemporary society seems to have some, to me, strange, even contradictory attitudes around marriage at the moment. That family unit we read about in the psalm, the family unit of husband and wife with children if blessed, that unit that has been the natural normative building block for society for centuries, now is seen as, well, one option for arranging your relationships among many. One option, all having moral equivalence. And yet, when a man and woman do marry here at St. Michael's or in other venues, occasionally the celebration can take on a hyperbolic significance and scale. No expense spared. Every detail must be perfect. A wedding planner is hired to try and tell the vicar what to do. That doesn't go down very well. Months of planning and preparing consume the diary and maybe the bank account as well. And I find myself conflicted if I witness the conspicuous consumption of some wedding celebrations. Conflicted. Because part of me fears that the profound, serious, simple, wonderful gift of marriage gets lost in a festival of self-expression or self-congratulation. But part of me hopes that that excess, that joy, that over-the-topness might reflect the lavishness of love. The lavishness of love, human and divine, that ought to be there when man and woman wed. After all, Christ blessed the wedding at Cana with 120 gallons of wine. God wanted that party to go with a swing. When marriage is celebrated, it is a sign of God's intentions, God's gifts to the world and his people. Marriage in Christian understanding is a sign of commitment, of enduring love, a covenant relationship between husband and wife, pledging to foster and further and fulfill that relationship, both when it's easy and pleasant and when perseverance and patience are required. A human model, a human sign of the covenant love that God has for his people. And I hope that's why at some deep instinctive level a wedding can give us such encouragement, delight and hope. And it is why marriage finds such a profile in the scriptures. It's a frequent picture of the bond between God and Israel in the Old Testament. It's an image of Christ's relationship with his church and how that will be celebrated at the consummation of all things, as we heard in our Revelation reading. The marriage feast is often used as a parable of the coming of God's kingdom, when his unbreakable, unalterable love for his people and his creation will triumph over death and sin, over evil and pain, over everything that can make the world feel more like a funeral than a wedding. We have a vision of a party, a joyful banquet like no other, a feast with fine food and well-aged wine strained clear, says Isaiah. A marriage supper like that a king would give for his son, that's an image Jesus uses. Marriage, then, a sign of God's kingdom, a sign of God's purposes and promises. So no wonder Jesus reveals himself at a wedding, as we heard in the gospel. But what does he show us at Cana? And how shall we live in the light of that revelation? I think the power and glory of God are on display here. The potency of the Creator to remake and reorder the world that he has made, in his divine creative sovereign freedom to change water into wine. That's one reading of our gospel. But additionally, does this narrative show us Christ's compassion, his wonderful mercy and love? The hosts have made a terrible faux pas, something that will shame them for years, if not decades, in the Cana community. They've invited all the village, some of the neighbours from Nazareth too. There should be food aplenty. And even if the wine has to be a bit cheap and rough to be afforded, it certainly should not run out. Those are the basic rules of hospitality, of wedding etiquette in the first century. But the party's barely begun, and the drink has run dry. This is awful. Yet Jesus takes away their shame. He covers their failures. He removes their guilt, as he will definitively upon the cross. He gives of his rich abundance to supply what they lack. Here is a story of compassion that points to salvation. For Jesus is bringing something new into the world here. Salvation comes from the Jews, as he himself will say a couple of chapters later in St. John. And out of their rites, their vessels of purification, a new dispensation of God's grace flows. With God in Christ, joy replaces anxiety, celebration removes failure, fellowship blossoms instead of resentment. The great reversal of God's kingdom is beginning. And there's the good news. Whatever our lives may look like, whether we are married or used to be, or look forward to being, whether we want to be married or think it will never happen. Because humanly speaking, whatever our lives bring us, the wine always runs out one day. That's the human condition. Whatever gains and successes we strive for in life and maybe achieve, they'll end, one way or another. Humans grow up and grow old. Children lose their innocence and leave home. Adults lose their health. Our bodies lose their battle with gravity. They become soft and saggy. Some of us lose the hair where we wanted it and find it sprouting in all sorts of places that maybe we don't. However much wealth or technology or exercise or healthcare we may enjoy, one day our human resources come to an end. And that's the bad news for all of us. One day, the wine runs out. But the great news, the good news of Cana and the whole gospel story is that where human resources vanish, God's resources have no limit. He can create something from nothing. He can make energy replace weariness. New opportunities burst forth where there was failure. Hope springs, even from the places of doubt and despair. No marriage, no life escapes those times when our human resources come up short and we look for help from beyond. Because humanly, the wine always runs out. But when you next hit one of those moments, remember that God's wine is limitless. Drink in the refreshment of his word here and at home. Come to communion and sup from his life-giving cup. Let him fill you with life, with love that is infinite. And bring you the joy of that banquet in heaven, which never has an end.